Hello and welcome to Ordinary, a podcast that aims to help Christians live for Christ in everyday life. My name is Josh Bannister, and each week I'm joined by Graham Nichols and Mark Bentham, both pastors of Christ Church, Haywards Heath. This week we have what is to me a bit of a special episode as we talk about The Antidote. The Antidote is Lion of Judah's new 7-track EP, which was released on the 31st of January. We talk about the intentions and themes of the record, as well as the inspirations and motivations behind each one of the songs. So let's get into it, and I'll catch you on the other side.
Hello, my name is Graham Nichols.
And I'm Mark Bentham.
And I'm Josh Bannister, and you're listening to Ordinary. Am I supposed to host this one, or am I just...
I'll host.
Am I letting go?
It feels like we're going to jazz club today, okay. But not quite jazz club,
jazz.
Is it? Great.
I haven't got a deep enough voice.
Sorry. It's like an online radio station today, because we're going to be talking about the Lion of Judah band.
Exciting times.
Who are the Lion of Judah? Tell us a little bit more, Josh, because there'll be some out there who'll know, who love Lion of Judah. The fans are out there, they're going wild right now, the very thought of what we're going to talk about in the Lion of Judah world. But there'll be others who are going, Lion of Judah, I thought that was Jesus.
Okay. So, yeah, Lion of Judah is a band that I am a part of, a Christian band. So we kind of...
What's a Christian band mean?
What is a Christian band? That's a really good question. Even saying it, I was thinking, should I say that? Ooh. But we're essentially a band that runs our band like any normal band, a secular band. We play gigs, we put out music, but we write content, lyrical content, that is about life and the gospel. And so we're not really writing for church congregations to sing in on a Sunday. We're writing music that we hope people would enjoy listening to just anywhere in the car.
And gym. You're all Christians.
We're all Christians, yeah. And a good number of us are at Christ Church, Haywards Heath.
But I don't think you just want people to just enjoy the music. You do want them to enjoy the music, so you craft it in that way. And you don't want them to just think, oh, the lyrics are nice to sing along to. You are in the lyrics trying to either affirm truth or critique falsehood, aren't you? Trying to address people's kind of concerns, some of the things about living the Christian life. And you're hoping that people will find benefit from that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're always trying to be honest in those lyrics as well. So reflecting the great joys of the Christian life and the struggles of it as well. And I think we try to walk a line of writing music that is going to be encouraging and helpful to Christian believers, but also that is not offensive to non-Christians. I don't mean offensive in the lyrics, but I mean that they could listen to it and think, oh yeah, this is good. I could listen to this, even though I'm not a Christian, and that there's some gospel truth being fed into that situation in a way that we've seen. Like, so for example, some people have come to shows before who are not believers, but they know the lyrics, and they'll sing the lyrics with us when we're singing live, and that's kind of an odd experience, but it's really cool to see that, and I think that's part of what we want to be doing. So yeah, like you said, speaking truth, critiquing culture, those are all things that go into the way that we write.
As a friend of mine said yesterday, you know, we're talking about Lion of Judah, and he was saying, you know, I can enjoy the music, but it also leads me to worship God. So Christian believers, so it's not worship music in that sense, is it?
Yeah.
But it leads me to worship.
Right, it's because I'm a believer. Yeah, and I think like there's this thing called worship music, right? That as Christians we all know what that means. And I think there's also this idea of worship being something that we do in churches, and yet you guys would preach over and over again that worship is your whole life.
Amen.
And that worship doesn't mean, so for us, worship doesn't mean a specific genre of music or something you do specifically on a Sunday, but that, yeah, hopefully this music is a conduit to worship, that it, you know, just because it's not congregational or it's not to be sung in a church,
it's great to hear that.
So you're knowing some degree of success in small terms, really, in compared to massive global global artists, but you are knowing some degree of success. Don't want to bring you down, but
or pump me up, just keep you right there,
keeping you humble,
but that's really good. Right. So, for example, you're doing Big Church Day Out on the main stage.
Yeah.
You're not headlining it, but you are at least on the main stage.
Yes.
May 2020.
So, yeah. So that's a really good kind of step up for you.
So the stage quite big.
So the stage is, is quite actually a big step up. Yes. Yeah, you have to have a ladder.
Several steps.
So that's good. I've lost my thread now.
Sorry.
Here's the thing. supposing you become extremely successful, how are you going to keep humble, and how are you going to keep the right kind of focus? Because there's an artistry to it that means it has to be to some degree about you and about the production and about the lyrics and about becoming successful. But if it's to maintain those roots of, I want to affirm truth and critique error, and I want to encourage Christians and challenge non-Christians, how do you keep that as the main thing?
I think you have to be fully connected and engaged with a local church. I think you have to have trusted people who are outside the band who are quite well acquainted with what's going on in the band, who can speak into it, who can notice things, who can point out maybe error or can just encourage in certain ways. I think that's helpful. And I think that it has to be it always has to be a conscious decision to reject pride. And I'm not saying that we've got that right, because that's really hard, especially when you're, you know, doing interviews or you're doing this, blah, blah, and people want to talk about you and what you're doing. So it's very easy to slip into, oh, yeah, I am doing well. I'm doing great. Let's talk more about me. So I think it has to be a conscious decision in our band, in our tight-knit group of guys, that every practice that we pray and that we keep conscious in our mind that this is not about us. Keep resetting the perspective to what we're doing it for and what the motivation is. That's hard, though.
And the motivation is, it is for people to come to know Christ, because actually we've made you one of our mission partners.
Right.
So London and Judah are a mission partner for Christchurch, because actually we see that what you're doing is reaching out to others with the gospel through music.
And I think the challenge of pride is there for all kinds of jobs. It's there for preachers, ministers, that you are tempted to think it's all about you. We don't like to admit it, but we prefer when our churches are bigger than when they're smaller.
Sure.
We like it that we preached a good sermon, rather than preached a rubbish one. You know, why wouldn't we?
And there are some good motivations behind those things. Yeah, I've been wrestling through this recently, around New Year, thinking about what does it mean to be the type of person that is very driven and very ambitious and wants to succeed, and pairing that with a Christ-like humility and contentment. Because I think a lot of times you see people who are hyper successful and they have certain character traits that you could map across all of them that make them the kind of person that is able to be successful like that. And I think that's true in art as well. And yet I also want to have some of those characteristics. That's Graham dropping a mic. That's okay. We'll carry on. I want to have some of those characteristics, but I also clearly want to temper that with Christ-like characteristics of humility and contentment. I think I don't have an answer to that, by the way. I think that's really hard.
Well, but I guess it's probably, the Apostle Paul had gospel ambition.
Yeah.
You know, he talked about ambition. He was obviously a driven person to achieve what he did. The Lord gifted him in that way, isn't it? But it's what our motive is, isn't it? If it's all about actually just making Josh Bannister famous around the world, then actually that's a wrong motive. If it's about actually God using it for the glory of himself, by the fame of his son being known through music, then that ambition is a right and godly ambition, isn't it? Now, we never are perfectly mingled in our motives of that, or pure in our motives of that, but there is a rightness of that as well, isn't there? But we're really talking about Lion of Judah today is because you're about to bring out a new EP, is that right?
Yeah, hopefully by the time this podcast goes out, it will be released so that people can listen to it.
Great. So it's on the radio at the moment, but actually it will be released and you'll be able to download, purchase stream from all good, reputable download music associations.
Absolutely right.
Companies.
Mm-hmm. So what's it going to be called then?
Yeah, so the EP is called The Antidote. And the reason for that is that each song, kind of the concept of the record is that each song was written as an antidote to a specific struggle in my life personally. I write the lyrics for the band, so each song kind of addresses one of my biggest struggles in faith. So that's why it's called The Antidote.
And the first song is that right?
Yeah, the first song is kind of a title track called The Antidote, which is, it sets the tone for the record.
And as I was listening to it, am I right that there's maybe I got this wrong, the kind of a C.S. Lewis moment in there?
In the antidote.
Is it the antidote, the one with the dragon?
Yeah, you're right.
I was thinking, oh, that's the...
It ends a bit depressingly, that song.
Right, so it does end with
the painful, sharp claws. Okay. It's...
You got the reference, did you? Well done, that's very impressive.
I think, to be fair, your wife had given me a heads up.
Had she?
And when we were talking about Syphilis a few weeks ago, so she'd given me a heads up that one of the songs you had referenced it. But it was only as I was listening to something, oh, I know where that is.
That's... Sure. So that's there because I think that the... process of dealing with your biggest struggles is painful.
Yeah.
And that analogy to the C.S. Lewis moment in, I can't remember which book, Prince Caspian or something, is one of the books.
Eunice?
Yeah, the young boy who becomes a dragon, right? He becomes a dragon
Eustace, maybe.
Eustace?
Yeah, it might be Eustace. And Aslan comes along when he is in the dragon form and he is going to fix this problem. And he does that by using his teeth and his claws and he tears the scales off the boy, and it's painful, but then
layer
beautifully
layer.
Yeah, layer by layer, but then beautifully it reveals who he really is and who he really should be. And I think that's what this record is trying to do. It's trying to peel off those layers and be an encouragement, be the antidote to these things, but it's painful working through them. This is the antidote. This is my medicine.
Could be painful. It's always my pride at stake. Your loving prescription is not a mistake. The scales of the dragon are thicker than human skin. Your claws feeling sharper than they've ever been.
What's the next song? Is it a happy song? I think it is.
I don't know which one is it. You're going
to remind
me.
I think it's Joy is the next song.
Okay, Joy, perfect.
We're on side A, as it were.
Are we going
through it? Called them sides because there is also a physical vinyl version that you've been selling as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a by the way.
How
cool
is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's out there if you want to find it. The amencollective.com is the website where if you want to find that. Yeah, so Joy.
You need a record player though, Mark.
You do, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
And I don't have
one. Not even everyone in the band has one, so I realise it's a niche thing, but it's quite nice, isn't it?
Yeah, fun.
My son's got one.
Has he? That's good.
Yeah.
So Joy is, I guess, the antidote to anxiety and fear, and or fear. So the track, as with all of these tracks, will focus on not the actual struggle. It's not a song talking about anxiety or fear. It's kind of the opposite. It's a song that's focusing on joy, so that it could be a song that you could listen to in anxiety and fear. That was kind of the concept for the EP. So that, you know, I'm struggling with anxiety right now. When I was really struggling with anxiety in a big way, I used to listen to a lot of King's Kaleidoscope, because it would in an amazing and powerful way preach truth into my heart in that moment and rescue me from crisis. I've always said that's like music, Christian music, is like God's way of arming me as a Christian. That's his like weapon that he's given to me. And so that's kind of the approach that we've taken with this as well, that Joy could be a song you could listen to in those moments of struggle.
What's the main kind of hook line? It goes joy
in every circumstance, and then peace, whatever the turbulence.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a modern take on the hymn It as well.
Yeah,
it is well.
Yeah. So it's talking about no matter what circumstance, the tough things that I'm going through, it's still true for me as a Christian to be able to say it's well with my soul. There's joy in every circumstance. There's peace, whatever the turbulence.
Because I know my Redeemer.
When sorrow like sea billows roll, I know my Redeemer. This blessed assurance control. When peace like a river, when sorrow like sea billows roll, I know my
song Mark really loves.
Okay.
Oh, Brother Believe, yeah. Upbeat. I liked it.
Yeah. Okay, so Brother Believe is about doubt. It's the antidote to doubt. I think all of us as Christians struggle with doubt on some level or at different times in our lives at different levels. Whether it's just questions at times where you just go, can this be true? Is God really there? If he is there, does he really care about this situation that I'm going through right now? If I'm suffering, even when my body fails, the song says, if I'm suffering, is God really paying attention to that? And we just, doubt can just creep in. And so Brother Believe is just a reflection on saying, who is Jesus? When you look at Jesus, who do you see?
So this line, I see the king on the throne.
Yeah, I see a king in control. I see king a father control. Who loves. Yeah. I see a maker who knows.
Yeah.
I see the shifting of stone, so the resurrection.
Yeah.
I see a lamb on the throne. So I say, Brother Believe. So it's a reflection on who Jesus is and why you can trust in him. Because I think meditating in those moments of doubt on, okay, who is it that I'm putting my trust in can be an antidote.
But I think it, even when I'm not doubting, actually, just knowing that, rehearsing those truths in my heart, actually, you know, it's a reminder, isn't it? That there is a sense of, actually, this is what I believe. This is what I hold on to.
Yeah.
I think that's where, in the sense of, there's an upbeatness to it, but it kind of, it stirred in me that, actually, this is what I believe. This is who I see.
Absolutely. And I think, again, like musically, you know, we didn't want to make it a downbeat record because the themes are like doubt, anxiety. It's an upbeat record. It's because it's trying to lift you up in those moments. Yeah.
I think what's really interesting about it is that the Christian positivity is different to worldly positivity, because it's not just saying, cheer up, mate. It's not too bad. You're actually trying to rehearse truth. And so we never say, well, you know, is this positive or is this negative? Anything that's truthful that leads me to God is positive.
Yeah.
But you're not just saying cheer up. You're actually giving substance to it. And even sometimes Christian songs can be more kind of without substance telling you to be joyful.
Yeah.
And you know, joy needs to be rooted in something of substance in terms of the character of God and the experience of God.
Yeah.
So I love it for that reason.
I see a king in control. I see a father who loves. I see a maker who shifting of stone. I see a lamb on a throne. So I say, Brother, believe. Brother, believe. Even when my body fails, when I'm crying on my knees, even when my mind was overwhelmed, when I felt like you left me, even when the closest die, even in the grief, I hear the footsteps walk beside. I trust in who I see.
You got a musical interlude after that.
Yep.
This all makes more sense to me now, because you sent it through to me and it was in completely random orders.
That's true.
Why had it interlude? What's all this going on? What's kind of different?
So we're at the end of the first side and we got an interlude.
Yeah.
So music has beauty in itself.
Yeah.
Do you think beauty points us towards God, just out of interest?
Oh, man, I love the question. We were talking about, when we were preparing the next set of podcasts, about doing a beauty apologetic on beauty, because I fully believe that it's one of those separators between us and the animal kingdom, that we love and chase and seek beauty, because that's what God does too. God makes things beautiful. He has aesthetic values, and so do we.
One of our elders, Stuart Holloway's,
he's big on this.
He's really big on, on beauty and form.
He's got a blog, right? Hunter of Beauty?
Hunter of Beauty, yeah. Yeah.
Go and read some stuff on that.
Yeah, and it's that idea that there is an echo of God in all kind of beauty and form and stuff.
We're
on side B now. We flipped the record over.
The vinyl. Yeah. We're back into being a kid again. I'm getting the needles back on the vinyl. People are going, needle, what's that?
Yeah. So this song is musically the most kind of downbeat song on the record. It's about apathy, really. That was the struggle. I think that it's one of the biggest things that Christians experience. It's not, you know, not necessarily an anger or a disconnect towards God or saying, I don't like God, I don't care about him anymore. It's just a growing coldness. It's just a sitting in church week after week and going through the motions and not connecting emotionally with who God is, with who Jesus is and what he's done for you. It's very easy to even be an intellectually engaged person, but a disconnected emotional believer. And I've experienced that many times, and I've longed for a deeper emotional reaction and connection to what Jesus has done for me. And I think, you know, doing youth work and stuff at Christchurch, I see that in the young people as well sometimes. I see them understand cognitively, and I see them not react emotionally. And I think, how can you be apathetic? And so, I understand it, but I guess the message of the song is, which came out of a sermon from Christchurch.
Was it a Jeremiah sermon?
It was one of yours about Jesus. No, it wasn't Jeremiah. I think it was the Easter. It was the Easter sermon. And it was about Jesus, you know, in that last Passion Week, even late into that. I think it was about essentially his journey with the cross to where he was going to be crucified, okay? And it was so powerful because I thought, how can you reflect on those moments in Jesus' life and the words of Jesus in those moments and not have a reaction? And so I went through and read all the words of Jesus in those last few hours, everything he said.
Yeah.
And what you're struck by is the power of those words, the selflessness of those words. Jesus says to the people who are weeping around him as he's carrying the cross, don't cry for me. Cry for yourselves. Cry for the children here. Cry for the sin in you that is causing this. So don't cry for my suffering now. Cry for the much deeper problem that is your heart. And that is remarkable. When you think about what Jesus went through before that, he's physically destroyed already. He's carrying the cross. He's being beaten. He's being mocked. He's about to get crucified. And he's still saying, don't cry about this. This isn't the important thing. The sin in you is the important thing. That's the tragedy. Mm. And it just struck me. It hit me so hard. I was just like, how can you think about that and not be affected emotionally?
Yeah.
And so, that's what the song is about. It's just hard.
That's good. Oh, I think what I thought was Jeremiah's, because it was more in my mind that, I obviously realised from the song you go to Jesus, but just recently we've looked a couple of times at Jeremiah's anguish at the sin of the people. And so he's not at all apathetic about it, you know, he's anguished at the sin.
Father, forgive. They know not what they do. Truly, my friend, paradise waits for you. Here is your son. She is your mother now. Care for her needs. Love my beloved one. Don't cry for me. Cry for the sin in you. This is my grief. I must make all things new.
So we are going to move on to the next song, which is Somebody New.
Somebody New, Somebody New is addressing failure. I think, again, as Christians, something we all experience is the feeling of shame and failure after kind of relapsing into sin or doing something you know in your conscience was not the right thing to do. And so Somebody New, quite simply, is just a song longing to be more like Jesus, to be transformed into somebody new, into somebody who isn't hurting God with your sin. Again, like with the song Again and Again, which was a previous single that we did, it was about Hosea and about how God reveals the deep pain that he has when we sin. And so the chorus of Somebody New is saying, I want to be somebody new, someone who's not hurting you.
I say the word so easily. I trust you for my every need. But how still would my heart be if those words cold heart runs in the blood. I stop believing you're a good God. I take my chances over your love. I wanna be somebody new, someone who isn't hurting you. I want your word to stick like glue. Can you show me? My heart is aching in my chest, the battle rages in my head. I wanna be somebody new.
Ealing moments. I love Ealing moments. It was just a by the way phrase I think I preached in a sermon about Exodus.
Yep.
Which got picked up as an idea. So what's the idea?
I thought it was nice. It was poetic. I wrote it down. I do that quite a lot in sermons. I'll just write down a phrase or something that sticks in my head because I think that I could steal it.
Yeah. Steal away.
Yeah. Ealing moments. Yeah. So Ealing moments is a song that I thought just tied up the record nicely because it's a reflection on paradise in the storm. And peace in the storm. And so Elim is a place that God brings the Israelites to once they've left Egypt. And they're going through tough times, like they're in the desert. And they're complaining quite a lot as well. They're not a particularly content people. Yeah. But God brings them to this place called Elim, which is like a paradise in the desert.
Yeah.
Palm trees.
They have an oasis, everything's
oasis,
good.
Right? Yeah. Springs of water. And you were just saying in the sermon how, you know, reflect on those in your own life. That those Elim moments in your own life. And so I think in a record that's all about struggle, it's nice to finish it by reflecting on, actually, you give me Elim moments too. Your generous grace is flowing, yeah. Like, and to just finish with that high. So that's why we put that at the end.
You give me those Elim moments. Yeah, your generous grace is flowing. You give me those Elim moments. You give me those, yeah. You give me those Elim moments. You give me those, yeah. You give me those Elim moments. You tell, yeah. Your generous grace is flowing. You give me those Elim moments. 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 You give me those.
Yeah, so that's the whole track listing.
It's called The Antidote.
It's called The Antidote.
Me and Mark got a sneak preview, but it That's will right. be out by the time this podcast goes.
Yeah.
And I know the band would love if you interact as well as just listening to it. Obviously, they want you to download it and so on. But if you want to interact, how can people interact with Lion and Jude? If they want to make any comments or ask any questions or anything like that?
Yeah, we're pretty active on social media. So if you had Instagram or Facebook, people can send us messages like that. And we'd love to respond to those. Or you can email us. Our email address is lineofjudahuk@gmail.com. And again, we'd love to reach out, we'd talk to you over that. And again, if you want to kind of get into our music, the physical stuff or T-shirts or anything like that, you can through the amencollective.com. That's where to find that kind of stuff. But yeah, and come along to a show because we love to talk to people as well.
And where would you find out about information on the shows?
Yeah, again, social media is the best place to go to just find out where and when we are. But we're going to be a big church, so if you listeners are going to be there too, come along, come and say hi. We want to meet people.
You are on the Saturday.
On
the
Saturday.
First up.
Yeah, on the main stage. And then later on in the day on Illuminate. Yeah. So yeah, we'll be there all weekend anyway. So if you see us walking around, come and say hi. That'd be great.
Brilliant. Well, thank you for introducing us to that.
Loved it.
No worries.
Thanks, Josh. Good
EP.
Job.
EP's a kind of throwback to when there were actually records because it was extended play.
Exactly.
So it used to go at the speed of a 45, but was as big as an LP. No, it went faster, but it was bigger.
Oh.
That's what an EP was. Slightly
right?
different. 33 was the long play. EP was the same as a single, but slightly bigger.
Extended
play. So, for us, it just means we didn't quite do an album.
Quite so.
Yeah, but yeah.
Yet.
Good stuff.
Yet.
Thank you very much, Josh.
No
and
Cheers, Josh.
Lion of Judah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Ordinary. If you're new around here, why not subscribe to this podcast? There's a whole bunch of episodes that you could scroll back through and listen to. If
you'd like to listen to The Antidote, you can search Lion of Judah or The Antidote in any streaming platform. Or you could purchase the vinyl by going to amencollective.com. Come back next week for another brand new episode of Ordinary.